Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yisai. Okay, we started the Sikha, the preface to Shara Bitachon, and the Leiv Toiv were in page Shinhei. The Chayetz HaLavis is telling us now why Bitachon is important for us. So first of all, the agenda itself already provides us with a chiddush, as we discussed yesterday. Bitachon is not a coping mechanism. It is a very important ingredient in our Avodas Hashem, as we'll see. And he began by saying, it's a requirement. It's an expected dynamic in a relationship with Hashem. If you have a true relationship with Hashem, if Hashem is real for you, and you are truly aware of everything He's doing for you, etc., the expectation would be that you trust Him. So this is number one, he's saying. It's important for your ruchnius just as an end in itself. Hashem expects you to trust Him. That's number one. He went on to say that Hashem actually relates to it, so to speak, as offensive if a person puts his eggs in a different basket and sees someone else or something else as his source of whatever it is he needs, be it another person, be it his own abilities. The person sees his wisdom as his source of success, his talents, his strength, his diligence. He sees that as his source of success. He says, Hashem, that will often be reason for Hashem to remove his hashgacha from the person and let his natural things fail. Now he says, another thing a person might rely on is his wealth. So rich, I'm basically covered. All eventualities are covered. You saw me menu, the shell is ulasai. It may be taken away from him and transferred to somebody else. He shows various psukim about this. And this is a phenomenon that you see around in the world around you. There's no guarantee. A person can suddenly lose everything overnight. I'll invoke the famous story of the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim, where he was talking to a certain wealthy man who had assets all over the world in like diverse areas. So he's like, how would I lose everything in one shot? It's so many different diverse things. So Hashem said, as the Chofetz Chaim said, Hashem doesn't have to take it all away from you in one shot. He can take you away from all of it in one shot. So, okay. The yeah, it's like pikadon. Sheshayne oisam in apgoin, ad sheyoshuv lemishu ra'oiloi. It will be also sometimes a person's money might simply be something that Hashem is using him as a bank for. Hashem has a mind to get it to somebody else. Meanwhile, he's storing it by you. You think it's yours. And also, it can be even worse. Sometimes money is simply Hashem's means of bringing a person to his downfall or even to his demise. Money could also be that. Now, a person doesn't know that. He just knows that he's rich. Like the Pasuk says, I've seen a bad malady under the sun. When a person's wealth is actually in his hands for his detriment. Okay. So that was really point number one, that the reason bitachon is important for your ruchnius is because you need it, because Hashem expects it of you, because it's part of your relationship with Hashem. That's reason number one. And in itself, why else is bitachon important for your ruchnius? Mehem, another reason is shabbateach beilekim, a person who trusts Hashem. His trust will cause that he will not serve anybody else. We'll explain this momentarily. The point that he's making is that another reason that Bitachon is important is because sometimes there's something right that needs to be done, but we are afraid of angering somebody. We're afraid of falling into somebody's bad graces, right? So this is where Bitachon becomes very important. If you lack Bitachon, you may be a good person, a conscientious servant of Hashem, but you're not going to have a straight, you're not going to be able to just go on the, on the highway, like on the straight path, because there will be all kinds of things that will make you, that will get in your way, that will inhibit you from doing what you know is right, because you don't want to get in people's bad graces. You don't want to mess up with this one. You don't want to offend that one. You're scared of what it'll do to you. So, when a person has absolute bitachon, he's not worried about this. Lo yachnif lahem. He will not flatter them. He doesn't place, he doesn't feel like this person is a person of important state. I can't afford to mess up with this person. There's no one I can't afford to mess up with. You have to be a mensch. You have to work the halachas b'nama chaveroi. But in terms of considerations of, I can't afford to mess up with this person. I can't afford to burn my bridges with him, etc., etc. That a person with bitachon won't have. And he'll be much less inhibited, much less encumbered in terms of doing the things he needs to do. He will not concur or concede to anything that runs contrary to Hashem's service. He won't be scared of their status. He won't be afraid of having a run-in with them. Rather, he will strip himself of the clothes, encumbrances of having to keep their graces, etc. I have to stay on their good side. He helps me out. And on the contrary, he is capable of admonishing them straight to their face without being careful to walk on eggshells and do it delicately. Now, we're going to have to make something clear. There are halachas about how you're supposed to admonish. You have to preserve a person's dignity when you admonish. But the point is that there will sometimes be a difference in the way you'll go about it if I need to say what needs to be said and I have to make sure to do it in the right way, or if I need to do what needs to be done, but I have to make sure not to offend you because who knows what will happen. It's two different considerations and there may be differences between the two. So the former, you should be concerned about. But the latter, if you have proper bitachon, not a cheshbon. If he needs to speak against them, he won't be embarrassed of them. He will not sugarcoat falsehood. Like the pasuk says, right? Chavetz Chaim gives an example of a person who his boss asks him a question about a coworker that is not within the permitted parameters of Lashon Hara. You don't want to anger the boss. This is where it comes in. Bitachon, not scared of saying, I'm sorry, this is not something I'm allowed to answer. Mashama Nabi, like the Nabi said, Hashem Elikim Yazoli, Hashem will assist me. Al Kein Loi Nichlamti, therefore I will not be ashamed. Al Kein Samti Fonaika Chalamish Va'edak Ki Loi Evoish. Therefore, I've made my face like a flintstone, and I won't be ashamed. And he brings a number of psukim to this effect, that a major attribute of a Navi was a person who simply did not care about people's reactions. Okay. So that is benefit number two, or reason number two, that you need bitachon as part of your spiritual makeup. Because without bitachon, you will often be inhibited from doing the right thing by people. Okay. I'll just give an example. When the Beis HaLevi first became Rav of, well, he was Rav first in Slutsk and then in Brisk. Not sure where this story took place. But the first Shiloh that was brought to him, he said, I don't know. That's a kishmak for the a Rav who's just starting. The first question that was brought to him, he said, I don't know. Then the second question was brought to him. I don't know. Then the third question was brought to him. I don't know. Now, they started getting back to the heads of the Kehila, and they started getting nervous. He had come with very, very high recommendations, right? And in retrospect, in hindsight, we would provide even greater recommendations. But already three shilohs, he wasn't able to answer them. They called a meeting to kind of respectfully raise the issue. They said to them, Rabbi Yisrael, rest assured, I'll be able to answer your shilohs. But first, I wanted to train both myself and you that there's such a thing as a Rav saying, I don't know. That was very classic of the Beis HaLevi. I guess these weren't urgent shilohs, but really desperately needed an immediate answer. Okay. That is benefit number two. What is reason number three why bitachon is something that's really required for Avodas Hashem? Hashem? Shabbatach belukim yivieu bitchoinoi v'fanoi seslibai minyonei oilam. A person who trusts Hashem, he will also move material concern out of the way of his Avodas Hashem. That's another thing that can very much get in the way. Now, with all these things, we have to remember that it's fine points. Because as we said earlier, you should be making sure not to make people feel bad, right? But the fear of them shouldn't be in consideration. And here also, you definitely have to be doing things to your parnasa, right? But don't let that overstep its boundaries. You need bitachon in order not to allow it to overstep its boundaries. Like, for example, a person is working for his parnasa, and he feels like, you know, if he goes out to daven with a minyan, it's going to affect his parnasa adversely. Now, again, with all the examples we're giving, we have to say that there may be situations where it's justified, etc. But we're talking about a case where it's not justified. Just the guy says, yeah, he doesn't want to let go now. No, this is where you need bitachon. I'm ready to drop business now because I want to be a person who davens three times a day with a minyan. I'm ready to forego a good deal because I want to be a Jew who keeps Shabbos. Here, an interest shiloh is coming up. This kind of shiloh, that kind of shiloh. So again, a person who lacks bitachon feels desperate for the parnasa. Once again, this is another something that will constantly get in the way of his avodas Hashem. While a person with bitachon will have a straight path, a clear path, he won't get tripped up by parnasa issues. It enables him to move his material concerns out of the way and put avodas Hashem first. Material concerns should be there, but they're set up around what avodas Hashem demands of me. Wherever the material concerns can fit in, that's the place I give them. So, a person is able to remove material concerns from his mind and to really dedicate his mind to Avodas Hashem. Now, the Yedoyme b'nuchas nafshon, And now, a person has true bitachin, his serenity, his peace of mind, his clarity, his lack of stress, will be similar to the Baal Alchemia, an alchemist. You know what an alchemist is? This was, this was something, a phenomenon that existed in earlier times. Maybe it was real, maybe it wasn't, I don't know. But the idea was that this guy was able to, with various chemicals, etc., etc., he was able to change gold into other metals into silver, and silver into gold. So this person, now the Chavis HaVavis will just preface what he's going to do now. He's going to now spend a long time comparing a person who has bitachin to an alchemist, contrasting the two. Alchemist is a person who is the epitome of financial security, right? If he ever needs some money, all he needs to do is find a little bit of any kind of metal, and he has some silver. Get some silver, he can change it into gold. The alchemist is the person whose financial concerns are settled for the rest of his life. And the Chavis HaVavis is now going to go and draw comparisons between the alchemist and the Baal Bitachin. What exactly he's doing, we'll see. He's going to get into a whole long discussion, contrasting the Baal Bitachin with the alchemist. What exactly his agenda here is, okay, we'll see. It's Hashem. Mm-hmm. Good night, Rabbi Yisai.